Yes, indeed. Everyone met us once more. Good afternoon and welcome to our podcast, The Conversation That Matters with Andy Zwazulu. Thank you so much again for tuning in. It is, of course, the second season of our podcast, the podcast that deals with everything matters of importance in our society. It could be health, education, or even entertainment. The aim here is to give you guys relevant information or even tell you things that you may think they are not important. So stay tuned to this lovely and educational episode. So today we are talking about the health. That's where we are focusing on. We'll be tackling about an issue. It's actually a syndrome. We'll be getting educated about a particular syndrome, which I'm sure many of us that we know, including myself here. So this syndrome is called the tall poppy syndrome. Yes, it's been with us for a while now, but some of us, we didn't know it. So today, we'll be talking to a man, an expert on this issue, to help us, of course, understand or help us shape what do we talk about when we talk, of course, about this particular syndrome. The man I'm talking about, our guest on the show today, is, of course, Dr. Doc Gallant, all the way from California in the United States of America. As we say, he will be talking to us about the tall poppy phenomenon syndrome, because according to my information, he's been studying it for the last 10 years after he himself experienced it at first hand in his own career. Now, his work brings awareness and clarity to an unknown, or rather an unrecognized and often misunderstood human condition. So this is, of course, a human condition that affects us as humans. So I feel that it's very important we discuss this further. But to discuss this further, we, of course, have Dr. Gallant on the line. Doctor, good afternoon from my side and good morning from your side.
Yes, good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, Doctor, how are you today?
I'm fine.
We're
good. Another pretty day here in California.
Lovely. We are also doing great here in South Africa, Doctor. Now, let's firstly start explaining the tall poppy syndrome, Doctor. Just a brief description. What do we mean when we talk about the tall poppy syndrome?
Well, the tall poppy syndrome, at least in the English-speaking language, is a metaphor for looking at a field of poppies, which is a universal flower, and seeing the poppy taller than the rest. And the tendency is to want to cut that poppy down so that all are equal. And that's the basic concept of the tall poppy syndrome. Now, when I did my observational study, I found the tall poppy syndrome in most countries, but they had different metaphors. Some actually had terms for it. But it was present in most societies in one form or another, and pretty much from all time. I found it in the Bible and from ancient Rome and ancient Greece. So it's been pretty universal from the very beginning of time of manhood.
Now, Doc, let's just go back to the term tall poppy. Now, what does it mean to be tall pop, according to, what does it mean?
Well, tall poppied, P-O-P-P-I-E-D, means you've actually been cut down. So say you're a prominent person and somebody cuts you down, and then you've, the verb aspect of the tall poppy syndrome is you've been tall poppy. So that's when the actual cutting has occurred. Your listeners at first have a little trouble understanding it as I did. So the first thing you have to remember is that you don't have to be tall in order to be tall poppy. For example, I broke that down into what I call the peer-to-peer, or your tribe. So this type of tall poppy syndrome occurs within your family. Your parents try and keep all the kids equal. It happens when you go to school, the teachers try to keep you equal. It happens within your neighborhood, and most commonly it happens within your workforce. So that's the first kind of a misunderstanding of the tall poppy syndrome, that you think you have to be tall, and in fact you don't. Now the real metaphor is somebody of some prominence, within your company or your neighborhood or school or business. In America, we have so many tall poppies. They're in our sports, in Hollywood, in the media, the CEOs of our country, and they usually get cut down by what I term egregious behavior. And the public then feels justified that they don't deserve that, being a tall poppy, and they cut them down.
Lovely say, lovely say. Now, if one may ask a doctor, what causes this syndrome, since you said it's a human condition, what causes this tall poppy syndrome?
It's driven by a human emotion, and that's why it's been present for manhood since the beginning of time, because the emotions haven't changed. And once you understand that concept, then I broke down the behavior of the cutter, the person that's doing the cutting, and the behavior of the tall poppy themselves. In the cutter side, the main emotion that drives it is envy. Envy is frequently, emotions are positive or negative. Positive envy would be if I looked at you and I found you handsome and well-dressed, then I might want to emulate you and work out and have a nice body or buy more expensive clothes. And the same thing happens in your neighborhood. If somebody has a better car than you do, then you want to emulate them and improve yourself. That's good envy. The problem with the tall poppy syndrome is it's driven by bad envy. I compare myself to you. I'm not as good as you are. I'm not ever going to be as good as you are. So I try and cut you down so that we're on the same level. Anger also drives the tall poppy syndrome. I mean, in America, you may have seen it on our Hollywood recently with Will Smith trying to cut down Chris Rock after the disparaging remark he felt he made about his wife. That was anger, and revenge also drives it. But there is a saying, if you seek revenge, dig two graves, because the revenger actually ends up cutting himself down, just as Will Smith did. And then, of course, some people are just a little bit lazy, and they don't want to try and improve themselves. So those are the three main emotions that are found in the cutter. Then if we look at the egregious activity of the person that's cut down, the tall poppy, by far and away the most common is pride. They're too prideful, which is hubris. Secondly is, in America certainly, greed. And then the third thing is lust. And in the English speaking language, we have the seven deadly sins. And I've just given you six of the seven deadly sins, three found in the cutter and three found in the person that's been cut down. The only seventh deadly sin that we don't talk about is gluttony. So if you kind of remember the seven deadly sins, it helps you kind of understand the emotion involved in the tall poppy syndrome, and it helps you decide who's at fault. Is it the fault of the cutter, or is it the fault of the cuttee? And then the last thing, of course, you have to reflect on yourself, because what's your own bias in this situation that you're observing? So in Will Smith, Chris Rock incidents at our Academy Awards, you have to understand, was Chris Rock really downgrading Will Smith's wife, or was Will Smith overreacting? And then you have to think, well, do I like Will Smith more or Chris Rock? So the metaphor can be a little bit more than the simple seeing a poppy field and cutting down the tall one. So you have to understand it's a human condition. It's very, very, very common. It's common in families. It's common in your tribes. And if you have a lot of tall poppies in your society, it's going to be common there too.
Indeed, well said. Now, in your statement there, you talked about the envy, which is one of the ways that are associated with this syndrome, of course. Now, what I want to know is that what are the two forms of envy and their relationship to the tall poppy syndrome?
Well, envy, I think envy is the most common emotion because you're always comparing yourself to somebody else. So as I mentioned, it's in the family. As you're growing up, you're comparing yourself to each other. It's in your school, you're comparing yourself to each other. It's in your work, you're comparing what you do to the person next to you. So envy is always on. And the problem is that it's easier to cut somebody down. It takes no time to do that. Talks some disparaging remarks rather than trying to work harder and improve yourself. So that's why envy is so important, and it's because it's so relevant. And of course, now with the internet, we compare ourselves to everybody in the world. All the selfies really are really a matter of comparison, and to a certain extent, shaming. I'm at this lovely restaurant with my friends and you're stuck at home with your boring family.
Yes. No, well explained there. Again, welcome to Conversation That Matters. If you just tuned in, we are, of course, in the conversation with Dr. Doc Garland from the United States. Our theme of the conversation today, we are understanding what we know as the tall poppy syndrome, which is a syndrome that has been affecting the society. So today we are, of course, discussing and understanding what we talk about when we talk about this syndrome. Now, Doc, moving on, I want to find out how is this tall poppy syndrome, especially movement, how is the movement connected to the cancer culture?
How's it connected to what?
To cancer culture. To the cancer culture.
I still don't understand.
My question says that how is the tall syndrome, especially movement, connected to cancer culture?
To cancel culture?
Yes, I want to know the connection between the syndrome and cancer culture.
Well, the cancel culture, that's one reason I studied in America, because we're caught up in the cancel culture. And the problem is that nobody's perfect. So it involves your bias and judgment. We can't judge today what somebody's actions were yesterday. You have to be in that person's shoe and at that time period.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we're cutting down all our tall poppies to include most of our founding members of our country. And in fact, we need a little more forgiveness than cutting other people down. You don't have to look the other way, but you have to put everything in context. I mean, you could take Nelson Mandela, evaluate him and find some faults with him, and certainly his second wife and his behavior. Now, she was cut down, and just because you're cut down doesn't mean that's the end of the world. You can redeem yourself and reflect, and especially if you understand the tall poppy syndrome, figure out if your behavior was egregious. And in fact, if it was, then you could try and improve yourself. So the tall poppy syndrome is not a bad thing to have happen to you, if in fact it does. It's a chance for one, for the cutter to look at his own behavior. It's a good thing for the person that's been cut down to look at their own behavior. I mean, one of our famous examples here is Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, was cut down by his board. He was CEO of Apple at the time, and he was fired. He wasn't the best person at that particular time of his life. He turned around and formed two new companies and eventually came back to Apple Computer and made it better than ever. So just because somebody's cut down doesn't mean there's no redemption. I have a chapter in my book of what I call the Tall Poppy Hall of Fame, and every person that's in that chapter was cut down sometime during their lifetime. So it's a chance to reevaluate who you are, and if you've been egregious, just grow from the experience. But the cancel culture, anytime you have, consider the cancel culture a little bit of a mob rule. Mobs are driven by emotions. The tall poppy syndrome is driven by emotions. Almost always in mob rule, there's an overreaction. So I feel much of the cutting down on our cancel culture is overreaction. But in the end, that there is a lot of reevaluation of what took place and how we can improve ourselves and, in our case, make our country better.
Yes. Now let's move to the effects, Doc. Why is the tall poppy syndrome ruining our political system? What can you say about that?
About what?
Why is the tall poppy syndrome ruining our political system?
Why is it in our culture?
The question here is that why is this syndrome, the tall poppy syndrome, why is it ruining our political system? We are looking at the effect of this syndrome.
Oh, I'm still not understanding the political system.
Just the system. I'm trying to understand the effect. Let me just say, what are the effects of this tall poppy syndrome on the society, or rather on the human?
I'm still not quite understanding what you want me to answer.
Okay.
How
can I put this? I want to know the effect this syndrome have on the people, or rather on the society. What are the effects?
Well, I think if taken properly, it's a chance to grow. So first of all, you need tall poppies. No society, you wouldn't improve in your country if you hadn't had Nelson Mandela. So you need, the most important thing for any society are tall poppies. You need tall poppies to advance any country, and you need tall poppies to grow yourself. You need tall poppy parents. So let's remember, you improve yourself mostly by emulation, by good envy. So you see somebody in school that's better than you are. You don't want to play tennis with somebody that's no good. You're not going to learn anything. So your goal always is to play with somebody that's a little better than you are, which helps you improve. So most improvement comes from people that are better than you are. That's why in America, we always say CEOs of businesses that are good are usually, the CEO surrounds himself by people that are better than he is, or that person. So the best thing about the tall poppy syndrome is it improves your own being. Now, the same thing holds true within any organization, within any family, with any business, with any school. That's why one reason universities have scholarships, it's to bring in more tall poppies into the school. And what happens? Those people become prominent citizens. That brings accolades back to the university. And if the university's lucky, they made a lot of money and donate it to them. So in the end, the tall poppy drives society. So when I originally did my book, I felt, why was the tall poppy syndrome not known in America, which it is, and it's known in most countries, but it's relatively unknown in America. Mm-hmm. And I felt that it was our individualism which was our culture and what our country was founded on that was preventing it. And lo and behold, I found that our individualism, which is part of what the cancel culture is tearing down now, is part of the problem. We have our intense meritocracy where we compete with each other, yeah, and try and have a better company, be a better player. And it's that competition that drives the tall poppy syndrome in America. Anytime you have one person pitted against another, one trying to get the job over somebody else. And that's why in politics, we have only two parties here, and each one is at each other's neck. So the politicians are always cutting down each other. So the competition actually drives it. And you have to understand the emotions involved in it, the other side as well as your own. You can't defeat the other person unless you know who they are and what their motives are. So the tall poppy syndrome really is the emotional study of yourself and the other person.
Indeed. Now, lastly, before we close, Doctor, let's just look, or rather do a review about your book, about, of course, this syndrome. Please tell us a brief review about your book. When was it released?
Well, I published the book in January of this year. My journey started almost 15 years ago when I was what I considered tall poppied at work. I was a physician and running a prominent spinal cord injury center in America. And I was president of our spinal injury association. I was planning on going to Australia, which is, in the English speaking language, the home of the tall poppy syndrome. It's really prevalent in Australia. Yeah. I was going there, and when I sat a meeting and firming up my 6-week tour, I came back to my office and there was a note that I had been moved down from the best office in our hospital to a little cubbyhole. So I had been there 30 years and somebody, you know, figured that my time was up. So fortunately, my wife knew what was happening and she told me to resign, not to try and get my position back and seek some sort of revenge on who was trying to tall poppy me, which turned out to be really beneficial information. So I had a private practice and I finished that out. Then once I retired, I had time to think about the tall poppy syndrome, and I did a year of academic research of looking the world and the world literature on tall poppy syndrome. And then I began to write the book, but I started, as I mentioned, looking at the Bible, and you don't have to go very far. And Cain and Abel in the Bible is a familial envy and the tall poppy syndrome. And then in ancient Greece, and Socrates was tall poppy, and ancient Greece, Herodotus actually described the tall poppy syndrome. And then in ancient Rome, of course, Caesar was tall poppy, and Livy, the Roman historian, actually described the tall poppy syndrome using the poppies as the metaphor. So it comes clear back and around 500 BC that there's written evidence of the tall poppy syndrome. Then I looked throughout history in many countries. I mean, Genghis Khan in China, the first emperor of China, they were both tall poppies, but they cut down all the opposing people. I mean, they did a lot of murdering, much as our communistic countries have a tendency to do. And Japan has a saying that protruding nail gets pounded down. Holland has the tall tree captures all the wind. Mm. And the Scandinavian countries, the Nordics, they actually have commandments. They're called the Janteloven, or the law of Jante, J-A-N-T-E. And these are 10 commandments on not how to grow tall. Mm. So I found pretty much all societies had the tall poppy syndrome in all time periods. And America wasn't excluded. It was just unrecognized here. And I didn't actually study South Africa, but maybe it's relatively unknown there, but you might have a similar syndrome, which is called the crabs in a pot or bucket or barrel, where crabs try to escape and the other crabs try and pull them back. Mm. We have a sort of a joke in Canada. Canadians are a very egalitarian country compared to America. And they say you can always tell Canadian crabs in a bucket from American crabs in a bucket, because the Canadian buckets don't have a lid on, meaning that they're going to pull each other down, not let anybody escape and become a tall poppy or tall crab, where the American poppies have to put a lid on them because our poppies are going to escape and become tall. Those are one of the metaphors that's similar to the tall poppy syndrome that some of your people in your country may be aware of.
Yes. Lovely, sir. Thank you so much for educating us about the tall poppy syndrome. Now, lastly, before I let you go, for my people, for those who are interested in learning more about this syndrome, for people who want to learn more, how can they access your book?
They can access my book from Amazon.com directly, or they can go to my website, doggarland.com. The book site has the audio, and the audio is very good. It's 10 hours, but it's been to a certain extent more popular than the book itself. But both my website and Amazon are places they can order the book. My website is pretty good. There's blogs on there, there's tweets. Mm. I did some scientific studies in medicine, which I was in, and medicine is quite infiltrated with the tall poppy syndrome, but also recognized. But I published some articles and they're posted on the website, as well as some of the podcasts I've recently done.
Lovely, sir. Thank you so much again. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for sharing your information with us. It was, of course, lovely having you in Conversation That Matters podcast. So thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Have a good day or night.
Lovely tonight from my side. And that was, of course, Dr. Kalan explaining to us, or rather making us understand, what do we talk about when, of course, we talk about the tall poppy syndrome. This was, of course, an educational episode. Hopefully you've learned a thing or two. As I already said, if you need more information about this, please do visit his website. You will find all kinds of articles he wrote about this syndrome. He is an expert in explaining and making people understand, because this affects us as humans. So it's very important that, of course, we deal with issues such as this, because our podcast deals with issues of importance. Catch us again on our next episode, as we'll be tackling yet again another episode. But otherwise, you can access our link, obviously, and share with your friends and family to get educated as well as entertained. My name is Andy Zulu. Again, thank you so much for tuning in on such a beautiful and special event. This is podcast Conversation That Matters. Until we meet again, thank you so much. Take care.